Amen. And the church said, amen. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise Him like we got a praise shut up in us this morning. Let's begin to thank Him as He delivered us, as He sanctified us. He has set us free. We have something to be thankful for today. Is anybody thankful today? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Yeah. Jesus, Lord Jesus, it's going to be hard to get through the service, amen? Yeah, we're excited here today. You know, stuff that just stokes my fire is when you begin to see what God does, right? So, you know, everybody see, where's Colby at? Colby, raise your hand. A little short guy, stand up. Hallelujah! 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 Devil, you lost again! Glory! Yes, Lord! Redeemed and forgiven and set free in the name of Jesus! Yes, hallelujah! Listen, if you don't know, that's what we're about here. We're about that, amen? Yeah, what man can't set free, God can, amen? So it doesn't matter that we trip up or we fall down, God restores, amen? Isn't that exciting? To know that we are mistakers under the care of a forgiving God. Hallelujah. Today we're going to start the service off a little bit different. We got it toned way down today, okay? So this is way down. So, you know, today I want to share with you this morning, and most of you don't know, but all the women that come to celebrate recovery, just stand up. If you don't want to be known, don't stand up, all right? So all of you, see all of you, look around there. Well, today, you guys know, we call her Jackie, but Jackie, right here, she's going to dedicate her baby to the Lord today, amen? Let's give the Lord a time of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So some of you know what's going on. We're celebrating today. So we're excited this morning that as we begin to have this baby dedication, and she's got her mother and father and godmother with her today to dedicate the baby. But first of all, I want us to remember the story, and the Bible talks about baby dedication. We just don't do it to be doing it, right? And some people say, well, I really just want my baby to be dedicated. And I said, well, look, it's not about the dedication of the baby. It's about how you're going to raise them. And you're going to be held accountable to make sure, right? Not just me. So when they don't show up, they ain't going right. Guess who calls them? That's right, you. I'll take all the blame. You call them, all right? Most of us remember this story in the Bible about Abraham when he takes Isaac with him on a 60-mile, if you will, hike to Mount Moriah. They climbed that mountain together. They built it together. They went there together. They built this altar. They were there to get, really just get firewood, right? And they're setting this up, and when they get there, he asks Isaac, would you do me a favor, son? He's been waiting and praying. Anybody ever wait for praying for something and you get it? And then all of a sudden, God asks you to sacrifice him. That's crazy, isn't it? But that happens. But go get that wood for the fireplace, if you will. So Isaac asked a question. And Isaac asked a question, and this is what I'm going to pose to you and your family this morning. And Isaac says, well, where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham simply replies that God will provide. God will provide. Then he places his boy on the altar, and he binds his own son up that he waited so long to get, and he prepares to slay his own son to be obedient unto the Lord. And the angel of the Lord stops him. They find a ram caught in the thicket, if you will, and they said, there's your sacrifice. You know what was happening here? God wasn't ever going to allow Isaac or our babies to be sacrificed. This wasn't about a crazy, fanatical father in heaven who didn't love his son. I believe that Abraham had faith that God would provide a sacrifice, and that's what God's looking out of you today, young lady. God's looking for you to sacrifice your baby, Allison, back to him, to completely surrender our will for the Father's will in our family. This is what is happening. God simply wanted to know if Abraham would do the same and give back that boy that God had given him to watch and to nurture. Our children are really, truly precious gifts from God. It's a miracle, God, that they these children, that we even have them and how they come to us. And they can come to us through really crazy circumstances, things that's sin or out of control often in our life. But you know that this story was really about what it's about today, and it's to dedicate the baby back to God. This was the first baby dedication in the Bible, and the word dedicate in the original Hebrew language means to keep and to prepare. So let's remember this, family. Your job is to keep the special gift and prepare the special gift. Isn't that exciting? God was saying to Abraham, as he says to us again today, I want to keep this boy. I want you to prepare to be a partaker of the covenant and the promise that was given to you, and how God has redeemed us and set us free from the stinking thinking, how God has taken us from certain demise and began to put our feet on a solid path. God went on to tell Abraham that he was going to provide a way for that covenant to be fulfilled through his son and his only son, Isaac, here. God would provide the plan. He would provide the means. He would provide the way, but God was the one that was going to do it. Abraham simply had to dedicate his son and his life to God, and that's what we're here for, Jackie and Allison, today. Abraham went on to offer the ram as a sacrifice to God, and listen to what Abraham called this place. Now, this is really awesome as they just sung about it. Now, you know, my wife probably snuck it in there, right? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 14, or 22, verse 14, it says, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Because it seems like, and you know what that means, my provider. So it seems like that when we're lost in addiction, when we're in a place that we can't get where we think we need to go, there's God again making a way in the wastelands, making a way in the desert, making a way where there seems like there's no way. That's the God that we serve. And people wonder why you all are so radical around here. But it says that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And as it is said today, this mount of in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, which means he will always provide for us. When I think of this story and how powerful it is for our children, our precious gifts that we've received from God, our children really do belong to the Lord. God can take them anytime that he would want to, for sure. Yet when we bring our children back to God for dedication, God sees the good intentions of our heart and says, no, I want you to keep them. I want you to keep them. I want you to prepare them. One day soon, I'll provide them with my spirit, which is the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us when they personally receive Jesus Christ as Savior. This is everything they will ever need to accomplish my will in their life. Oh my, how many times have we ran from that? Had Abraham refused to give Isaac back to God, he would have forfeited all God's promises and plans for Isaac. Isaac would have lived and died in obscurity, a nomad, a nobody, if you will. Had Abraham refused to give Isaac back to God, Israel would never have become the nation. And guess what? There would have never, ever been Christianity. As we begin our baby dedication this morning, I'm going to ask the family to come up with me. And we're going to be able to share with you this morning. Oh, yeah, you might need a baby too, please. Oh, you guys go ahead and get it all the way. Oh, like we like kids around here. Come on in, Mom, Dad, if you want to. You're more than welcome to come up here. You want to sit there, you're fine, whatever you want to do. Yeah, and by the way, this is all videoed, so you have a video of it afterwards also, so everything's video for you. But as we begin to think about what's going on here, now, some of you know this is Jackie, and this is the boss right here, Allison, in training, and this is Godmom over here, and your name again?
Ellie.
Ellie? All right, so that's who we got this baby dedication. It's really no different than Abraham and Isaac, right? God's saying, just give my baby back to me, and I'm going to let you have it. I just want you to raise him to admire me and do the will, amen? So this morning, we're going to charge you. Jackie, are you excited?
Yes,
I am. All right, I know you are. So Jackie, by the way, I know very little about Jackie's story because she works a lot, so I don't get to see her much. But she shared a little bit with my wife and me about how God, this baby right here, it's hard to believe this. This baby saved her life. That's all you got. Yeah. Yeah, so many of us know what that's like, to be lost in a mess. You know, what we always said, breach, broke, bust, and disgust, and hijacked. You know, we know all that stuff, right? But in the middle of that, God said, I want to provide for you. I want to provide for you something that I want you to raise in admiration unto me. So that just shows that we have a redeeming God. So, Jackie, what you are doing here today with Allison is you are simply giving Allison back to God. You are making a powerful statement, not only to the congregation, but to the Lord. And what you're saying is this: Lord, we dedicate Allison back to you today. Will you allow me to keep her and prepare her for your purpose and your kingdom? And God, will you keep me strong in the will of God and in the word of God and raise her in admiration unto you. If you will, say, I will.
I will.
And Jackie, I charge you this day to keep them, or to keep her, I should say, to keep her, prepare her, teach her, and lead her by your example alone as a loving and godly parent from this day forward. Do you accept this charge this morning? Look at her. Isn't she precious? And I also charge this church family this morning for you to hear this, and there's purpose for you to be sitting here this morning. And I think so often we lose the focus of our purpose. When someone is baptized, when someone comes up and gives their life to Christ, or they allow their child to be dedicated, our job is accountability to love them and nurture them and chase them. I also charge this church, our teachers, our leaders, and every saint of God to treat this child, Allison, I love you. Look at you, you're so sweet. To treat this child as one of God's own and to do your part in leading them closer to God. If you accept this charge as a church body, please say, I do.
I do.
Let us reach your hands and stand if you will and stretch your hands this way as we pray for Allison and Jackie as God begins to allow her to be dedicated back to him. Father, we thank you for Jackie this morning, God. We thank you for such an incredible heart, Father God, that you used someone as precious as little Allison to save her life. God, what you have brought together, let no one put us under, Father God. Don't let the enemy attack them. Don't let nothing come against them, but God, allow these two to grow in you. Father, we ask for a hedge of protection around both of them this morning, God, as you just protect them heart, mind, soul, and spirit. Father, as they are dedicated back to you today, God, we simply say that Allison is all yours, and thank you for seeing fit to save Jackie's life with her. So, Father, thank you for the redeeming blood of Jesus, and we release them into your care. It's in the name of Jesus we all pray, and the crowd said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I know what you all thinking right now. I'll come up to preach on Sunday, and that's probably the best I ever looked, huh? Now, she's a doll baby, isn't she? Amen. All right. I want to kind of change gears now. So this is Thanksgiving. And, you know, we got so much to be thankful for. Oh, yeah. As we begin to think about this, you know, as I was thinking about, Karina says, hey, Jackie wants to dedicate her baby, and she wants to do on this date, and her mom and dad can come. And I said, well, I really don't have that built into my sermon. Right? And she says, okay. And I said, well, anytime works for me, because anytime that we can dedicate a baby, what are you? Thankful.
Yeah.
I said, we'll just start off, and we'll be thankful right out of the gate. That'll mess things up, won't it? So we got to be thankful today. Last year, I preached a message, and I preached a message on thanksgiving. I began to talk about every day of our life, we should be thanksgiving. We should begin, and I challenged you last year for the next year, just thanksgiving. I said, what's that mean? I'm thankful for what God's given me and how God wants me to extend it to other people. And when I think I have nothing, God's got it all. Unchanging reasons for thanksgiving is what I'm going to share with you today. Unchanging reasons for thanksgiving. One of the most explicit Bible verses related to the matter of thanksgiving is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. This verse, if you read it, says, if in everything, everybody say everything. This is how we're going to break some shell. I ask some people sometimes, they say, how you doing today? Well, I'm getting by, Pastor. Well, you just received what you wanted. You know, so what do you say? I'm blessed and highly favored in spite of my many challenges. I've been delivered and sanctified and set free by Jesus. He has brought me out of it. Thankful. Thankful. Do you ever have a bad day? I said, you won't know about it. Because I ain't announcing that stuff to the devil. What we've been talking about, you have what you say. The scripture says here in everything, listen, if you're in the trial today, if the devil's trying to strike fear in you today, if you think that you're not redeemed, you're no good, you won't never make it, I'm telling you, it says in everything, give thanks. It's what it says, give thanks. For this is the will. Now listen to this. It says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. So no matter what I'm going through, blessed and highly favored, in spite of my many challenges, praise God and glory to God. So we can think about the stories, right? Jackie says, this baby saved me. You know what? It took me a long time to get saved, but the thing was, through my muck, my mire, my nastiness, God rushed down and picked me up out of it. He redeemed me. He set me free just like he did you, amen? This verse, it has a commandment. This verse has a commandment It commands the believers to give thanks unto the Lord. Everybody got that part? Go ahead and get a picture of that, because that's the gist of the sermon today. That's my closing line. Amen. Let's bless the food and let's eat. You hear what I'm saying? We're thankful. But as we begin to look at this, if I can get to the place in everything, I begin to give thanks, for this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning me. This verse commands me to give thanks to the Lord, not what I am going through today. Listen, we can get up here and give you a fancy Thanksgiving message, but I'm telling you, the people that I know, we're going through something. If we're going through it, we're doing exactly that. We're getting to the other side of it. Listen, there ain't no sailors made on smooth seas. God will allow us to go through some stuff so he can begin to provide. We're going to go through some stuff, not for everything, but in everything we are to give thanks. There's a great big difference. Certainly, we ought to be thankful, not just because we are told to be thankful, but because we have much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. However, I have discovered that thankfulness is a very fickle thing. Often, our thankfulness focuses on things that are physical in nature, usually. We are thankful for our health. Amen. We're thankful for our families, our homes, our financial stability. We are thankful for things that we have. That's us. Yet all these things, and we know this, is subject to change. Right? So if you play back what I just shared with you, your health, your family, your homes, your financial stability, it's all subject to change. And we know that. Think about it. Health can absolutely stop at any time. You can get a bad report at any time. Families can split up at any time. Bank accounts can run dry. And what do we do then, though? What happens to us then? How does that affect our thankfulness? You hear me? Because we're awful thankful when everything's going good, right? And as a brother said the other day in Bible study, he says, it's always easy to tell somebody else that you need to be fixed, or you need to quit, or you need to stop, or you need to start, or you need to go. He said, unless it's you, then it's totally different. Oh, Lord, help me. Yeah, that's us. But yes, it's easy to give that kind of direction and that kind of directive, but it's easy for us not to receive that when it's us. I would like to suggest this morning that we remain thankful for the physical blessings that we enjoy, and that we learn to look beyond those changing things to some things that never change. Hear that? There's some things that never change. You know what it is? It's stuff we walk away from, run away from, hide our eyes from, and every time, there it is when we're done, right? I would like to share a few of those unchanging blessings with you this morning. Notice in this verse that some of the unchanging reasons for thanksgiving is found in Hebrews in chapter 13, verses 5 through 15. So we're going to, he's got it up there. Good. Good job, Dylan. So think about this. I'm going to read this to you. Then I'm going to unpack it a little bit. There goes our baby to the nursery. Everybody say boo. Yeah, she loves the nursery too. I was back here with her Thursday. She is so happy. All right, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 15. Bear with me while we read these, because this is going to speak to us this morning, and we'll unpack them. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Now, what you talking about, Lord? You know I like that money. Huh? Yeah, don't lie now. We're in church. We like that money, Lord. The more I get, the better I feel. I am so thankful when I get all that money, right? Keep your lives free from the money and be content. Everybody say content. Amen. With what you have. That's the problem with us today. Amen. Thank you. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen. This is word, isn't it? So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Do not, well, you give him a clap. Do not be carried away. Now listen, this is where we're at today in church. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings or false doctrine that should go on to say or whatever it might be. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have not right to eat. No right to eat, I'm sorry. Verse 11, the high priest carries the blood of the animals in to the most holy place of sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp, and so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Verse 13, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Amen. Father, we ask that you bless us with this word today that is sown deep into us, that God, we learn today how to be truly thankful. Father, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your son that died for us so we could have eternal life. Father, we thank you that you're always at work in and with and through us. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. So as we unpack this scripture here this morning, the first two verses, well, there's three of them actually. I think, let me find my spot. No, there's two. In verse 5, or in verse, go ahead and put it up for me. I don't want to stumble on it. Thank you. In chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, we're going to talk about our Savior. These verses tell us of just a few of the unchanging glories, listen to this now, of our Lord that we serve. The things revealed here are causes for thankfulness and thankfulness at all times. Verse 5, it talks about his abiding presence. When you begin to think about his abiding presence, regardless of where the path of life leads, the saints of God will never, ever walk alone. Amen? That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But the truth is this, no matter where we walked off of path, no matter where we strayed away, God has always been with us. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse number 20, echoes this, in teaching them to obey. Everybody say obey. That's the dirty word in church, right? There's two of them. The old word, obey, and the second one, submit. Okay, the teach, I'm going to use both of them today. Happy Thanksgiving, all right? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you, it says, always. It says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what happens with that? That's why we don't get too excited when people stray off. We know they're under attack. And we know that we have a job. He said he ain't never left them. And we just use Colby as an example. He ain't never left you, Colby. He ain't never forsaken you. He loves you, and he's with you, and he forgives you, and he redeems you, and he restores you, and he sets you free in the name of Jesus. That is the God that we serve. Amen. Everybody say, his abiding presence is within me. Second, verse 6 says, his assisting presence. Now, not like God ever had to help us, right? His assisting presence in verse 6 says, the word helper comes from a word which means to run. To run. I don't know what you're thinking. Yeah, I've run from God plenty of times, right? That was me. That's not what it means. And what we're talking about here, the idea is that when we are in absolute need, when we feel like God is so far away from us, when we're laying in the bed at night, staring at the ceiling and begin to wonder, God, is this all that there is? And God, why every time I want to make a correct decision, and I know I ought to, God, why every single time, and left to my own devices, do I make the wrong decision? God, can you explain that to me? And he begins to speak to us. The Lord runs to our aid because it says he is our comforter. God, you coming and showing up in my mess again? He said, you might have created, but you're still mine. Amen? Amen? John chapter 14, verse 16 says, and I will ask the Father. How many times have you done that, God? If you get this needle up out of my arm, God, if you bring me back to life, God, if you'll sober me up right now, God, if you'll get me out of this affair, God, if you'll get me out of these financial, listen to me. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Everybody got the Holy Spirit alive in them, right? We got the Holy Spirit that's indwelling inside of us. Look at this. Now, we talked about his abiding presence and his assisting presence in verses 6, 7, and 8 here. But let's look at this one. Let's look at verse 8. It talks about this. Everybody say anchoring. His anchoring presence, his anchoring. Anchoring has a word here we don't want to let go. One of our greatest sources of thanksgiving this morning is the truth that Jesus absolutely never, ever changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and he'll be the same forever. What he was then, he is now. From before creation to all eternity, Jesus has never nor will he ever change. He is still the great I am. He is still the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. And he still sits on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Listen, he still possesses all power on earth and in heaven. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came to them and said," all, everybody say all. It says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." When you begin to walk in the commandments of God and what God's got for you, you'll be able to be a Jackie and say, no matter where I'm at, I can begin to know that when I'm born again, it doesn't matter who makes fun of me, who thinks I got three eyes, who begins to look at me all kinds of weird. And I remember this, girl, don't you forget it. But when God begins to deliver, when God begins to set free, it doesn't matter what everybody else says or what they got. What they want is a little bit of what you got, amen. And so they can drag you down. They won't have to be building you up, amen. But let me tell you today, when you've been set free, it is God and God alone who set you free. Go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise up in the house this morning, because he is worthy. He is worthy of all praise. He brought me out of my muck. He brought me out of my muck. He delivered me. He set my feet upon a rock. It's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, the great I am. We can always be thankful for our Savior, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Second point this morning, I want to talk about our salvation. Our salvation. Everybody say salvation. Salvation. I shared this week that I shared with a late 50s lady, not picking on us old people, who's went to church her whole life, and I asked her a simple question. You say you're a Christian? Yeah. I'm a church, I'm a little girl. And I said, that's awesome. How do you know that you have Jesus? She said, I believe in him. I said, that's awesome. So don't Satan. He believes in him. Well, I don't know what you're getting at. I said, well, what the Bible says. I preached on this yesterday in a setting. I said, what the Bible says is this. As you need to believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then and only then can you be saved. If you begin to walk in the abundance of salvation, when you begin to know, it don't matter what everybody else knows, when you've been delivered and set free, and God begins to live in you, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden people begin to say, oh, that stuff just don't bother them as much as it used to. You have been changed from the inside out because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Our salvation. Everybody say salvation.
Salvation.
First, I want to talk in verse 9. It brings out in this Hebrews chapter 5. It talks about our salvation. It says the first point, verse 9, the price. Everybody say price.
Price.
There's a price to our salvation. This is what we overlook. This is why we should always be thankful. Our free gift of salvation. We got to be thankful for it. This verse mentions grace. We can thank God that salvation is absolutely given without any cost or no debt. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And that's just all we did. That's all you did. I couldn't take it no more. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was 31 years old. I couldn't take any more of me. You know what I'm talking about, anybody?
Yeah.
I know it looks like I've only been saved about 2 years, but pay attention. But you know, here's the truth is that when I came to him, he was waiting on me. I was so hardened, I didn't know. I thought it was all about me. I was self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteous, I was full of me, and I stank, as the King James Version says. But when I came to him, he was ready, and he softened, and he made my heart malleable, and he began to use me, and he began to make me love people. How do you make a selfish person love somebody else? I don't know. How you could ever do it without the Lord? But think about this. It's unbelievable. The Spirit of the bride, he just said, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, oh, yeah. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So we're talking about our salvation this morning. It is purely the operation, if you will, of grace. Think of how you came to know Christ. You personally, nobody else. You're dead in sin, right? You're stinking dead in sin. I was steeped in sin, and he sought me. He called me. He died for me. Put your name there. He redeemed me. He keeps me. All you did was exercise the faith that he gave you, and he did all the work. Wow. It don't take long to remember this. Time for me to be thankful. I remember when I was all the way down and all the way out, and I always say, well, some of my best times was when I was at the low, when I didn't have nothing. Anybody ever been there? But that's where I found Christ. That's where I found him. I found him because everybody was Christian. Everybody showed me, my whole family, everybody's preachers. And I said, y'all crazy, man. But the thing is this. No matter how vile you are, or you think you are, no matter how addicted you think you are, when you begin to call on the name of Jesus, it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm telling you today that when you begin to allow God to work, it's only by his grace that he does stuff for us that we are undeserving of. Paul pins this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For it is by your own work and will. Oh, two of you paying attention, all right. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're talking about in salvation. Verse 12 talks about the pain of it. The pain of it. For us, the price was low. The price was really low that all we had to do is say this prayer and begin to believe in our heart and begin to put it into action and begin to change. The price was low for God. The price was unimaginable. Our salvation cost God the life of his son, as we know, John 3:16, which all the politicians state wrong. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? Amen. So what did he do for us, right? His death on the cross is what provided salvation for you and I. There is no way that we can describe the gory details of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he was pierced for our transgressions. We know he was striped for our healing. We know that he was beaten beyond human recognition. We know he's hung on the cross of Calvary. We know all that gory stuff, and we can't even give it justice when we talk about it. But don't you know, we nail him to the cross and crucify him every time that we quit and every time we walk away, when he said, never will I leave you or forsake you. He knew what we were. He knew what we would be. And he knew what would save us, and he knew we couldn't do it on our own. He still went to the cross, and he died for you and I. Isn't that powerful? So thirdly, I guess I should say, verse 12 talks about the purpose of this salvation. Think about it. We are told here he suffered the death he did so that he might sanctify the people. Isn't that awesome? The word sanctify means, has a meaning here. The word sanctify means to separate from vain things and set apart for God's use. So everybody say, I've been set apart.
Set apart.
Okay, five of us. Everybody raise your hand and say, I've been set apart. And when I'm having mental illness struggles, when I'm having addiction struggles, when I have financial struggles, when I'm having a bad day, when my kids are off the hook and chain, you know what I'm talking about? I have been set apart. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get my praise on today, and I'm going to go ahead and get a little thankfulness popping up out of me, because it ain't that far long ago, whether it's 10 years or 20 years, I begin to know if it wasn't for God sanctifying me, if it wasn't for God setting me apart, if it wasn't for him walking into my life when I was walking away from him, when it wasn't for him delivering me when I needed delivered, I wouldn't have my kids for them to be off the chain, amen. I know I wouldn't even be around them. I wouldn't be delivered. I wouldn't be set free if it wasn't for the sanctification of a living God who died and rose again and intercedes at the right hand of the Father for a stubborn person like me. I think we got a praise shut up in us. Anybody is praising. Go ahead and praise him today. Ooh, this is why Jesus died. He died to take this old vile sinner out of my sin. He set us apart from this world for the glory of God. He saved us so that we might become different. and that God might be able to use us for His glory and His glory alone. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Woo! Therefore, that's good stuff right there, isn't it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone, the new is here. Woo! Woo! Well, you know, you look a little weird. Something happened to you. I don't know what it is. I mean, you look good on the outside, but there's something coming out of you I can't figure out. You remember what I'm talking about, Colby? Shut up and quit hollering this Jesus stuff all the time. Yeah. Man, you cut me, I want to bleed Jesus. You cut me, I want to bleed Him, because the only thing that's ever been good in my life is the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ freely given to me, and all I had to do is believe and receive what it is, and I began to walk in it, and He began to change it. He blessed my finances. He blessed my marriage. He blessed my kids. He's blessed my grandkids. He's blessed this church, and He's a blessing. And I got to be thankful for Him today. Hallelujah. But this is only if you are in Christ. Because the old's got to go away. Because you know what they say about the old? It's like the devil coming right back to your front porch, amen, and saying, hey, I want to tell you, you ain't no good. You ain't delivered. You're whatever. You can look right at that lying, no good for nothing, rotten scandal. And you say, you go to hell where you came from. You go back to where you came, because I've been redeemed. And I'll tell you, devil, the accuser of the brethren is Satan himself. I rebuke you, bind you, and cast you out in Jesus Christ's name. Wow. I got this for you. We can be thankful that we, which were so lost and wicked, and I'm not talking about you, this is for me, I preach to myself. All of us who is lost and wicked have now been cleansed and set apart for God's glory through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Go ahead and give Him a hand clap. That's us. And then in verse 13, and I want to share this, in verse 13, I want to talk about our separation. The call of this verse is for us to do on the outside what He has already done on the inside. Listen, this is why when you set free, when you've been delivered, when you have something inside of you called the Holy Spirit, a piece of a triune God, that's powerful, isn't it? God's given you a deposit. And we think about this, He's already done the work on the inside. What happens? We begin to go to war. You have people come up to you and they do one or two things. They tell you how no good you are, how you never amount to nothing. You got the other one standing over here. And man, I see something about you. And you'll be able to give them some testimony. Hey, man, you know who I am? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am somebody. You are somebody when you accept Jesus Christ. Amen. He's doing it on the outside. This is He has set us apart inwardly through the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. His call to us is that we willingly take our stand with Jesus on the outside in this crazy, messed up society. He is calling us to pick up our cross and bear the reproach of Jesus, amen? Oh, I just don't know if I can take anymore. Listen, if you know what they did to our Jesus, if you know that He took it willingly, if you know that He went there when He didn't have to, and all He had to do is tell God, I don't want to do it, and He began to say, not my will be done, but yours be done, Father. No matter what I'm going to go through today, God, I will be thankful. All the way to death on the cross. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, then Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. That's hard for a selfish person. I'll tell you right, deny me. But did you forget, Lord, I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it? Yeah, He said, no, I ain't forgot you, boy. You must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Christ. He's telling us right here to be different. He's telling us that we must be set apart, we must be different. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, therefore, listen to this, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. Second point, check this out. Listen, you guys, some of you guys are and gals who are battling with hurts, habits, or hang-ups around here today, God should be speaking to us loudly, amen? He's telling us to be different. Come out. The next point is we ought to thank the Lord. Look at that. Phew. I'm telling you, I'm glad that he changed some of you rotten people. You some of the meanest people I ever met in my life before you knew Jesus, right? Amen. Now, you don't act like the preacher's lying. Now, you know what? I was that guy. And I've been saved a couple of years, like I said, now I'm 30 or something like that, or close to it. But people from my past continue to tell me, they challenge, not me, but everybody else, they bring me, say, you know who that guy is? You know who that guy is? There are people in this church when I was a kid right back there, the Markwells. They know I was a great altar boy and choir boy. But think about this. They want to tell me about how no good I was back then. I tell them, I said, look, I don't want to hear none about that. That guy's dead and buried, man. They said, you used to. I said, I don't care what I used to. Let me tell you what I'm doing now. And I met a guy this couple of weeks ago, and that's what he said. He said, the first way I know is they call me Simi. I said, oh, great. So now my wife and everybody's hanging out with us. Here's Simi. They're like, uh-oh, here comes the story. Because when he died, I changed his name. His name's Sim. So that's my name now. But it comes down to this, is that we are changed people. We're not the same people. And so often people look at this, we ought to thank the Lord that he has made a change inside of us. We don't have to be the same old rotten, dying, decaying flesh. We have a promise, amen. And so often people want to always look at your past. Amen. But I'm telling you, my God does not keep a closet. He doesn't stack all your sin up there when he forgives you. And he don't walk over there every time you mess up or screw up or do something wrong and open up and say, do you remember? He's a forgiving, redeeming, covered by the blood of Jesus God who loves you and would do it again and again and again. You know, the very fact that I don't live like I used to, we don't find enjoyment, and I don't find enjoyment in all the things the world is doing, that we are different is what we need to be thankful for. This is a cause for me to be rejoicing every day in our lives. We ought to stand out, and we should be thankful when we do. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Last point, our sanctuary, verse 14. Again, we are reminded that we are living in a world that is constantly changing, if we don't know that, right? Amen. I'll tell you, I stand in pastorate meetings, and I'm sitting back, and I'm like, am I talking to pastors? I'm being honest with you. I ain't trying to be mean to them. I just don't see where some of this stuff lines up with God's word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If all our hopes are placed in this world, in the physical realm, I should say, then we're going to be disappointed more than we'll ever be happy. However, the child of God, and as a child of God that's been redeemed, we can always rejoice. Rejoice in the fact that this world is not the end of all. To tell all of us as Christian in our experience. In verse 14, it tells us that there is something better just down the road. And many of you know I've done many funerals for loved ones. Suddenly, not so suddenly, but nevertheless, they're the same. I think about this as I talk to my mother as she's really struggling and getting ready to pass into eternity. I can thank the Lord this morning that when her journey is over, just like ours, and I use this as a funeral setting so often, we can have a city awaiting us. We have a city awaiting us where we can rest from the labors, the troubles, and the tribulation that we experience in this world, where we can enjoy the sweet presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a place of which we know little. We know very little, but we do know that none of the problems of life will be allowed where we're headed to when the final breath is taken. Revelation 21:4 speaks of this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And this is awesome. There will be no more. I have a hard time preaching this at funerals. Not because I'm sad. I think about all the pain that our loved ones go through. As I seen my suffering mom on FaceTime this week, it broke my heart. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. This is who we are in Christ. We have a promise, and the only ones left to suffer is us. Nope, it's our loved ones. Because we're going to pass into all eternity. John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. It says, it talks about here where Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. Wow, look at this. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. See, we know enough to allow us to be thankful. We really do. We need to be thankful for the blessed home that waits for every child of God in eternity. So I say this to say this. As we talk about different things and thankfulness that we are, many of us have a lot of reason to say we're not thankful because we missed our loved ones or whatever it might be. That's not true. If they're with our Father today, we're envious and jealous. We love them, but someday we'll be united with them. So when you begin to think about this last one, I often struggle with, well, should I put that in there? We talk about this sanctuary again. We are reminded that we are in a living world that is full of hurt and pain and suffering. And as I watch my beloved mama, as she's sitting there and I watch her, and I couldn't do nothing but cry. But I know what awaits her, and that gives me peace, and it gives me hope. We got to think about what God has for us and what he has in store for you. I shared all this morning. I'm going to go ahead and close. But I want to ask, praise and worship team, come on up. I love to be led by the Spirit. Come on, hustle up here. Don't be acting like you got all day. That's my wife, so I can talk to her like that. I'll pay for it later, but it's funny. Come on up here. As they begin to lead us into worship, into the presence of God, the biggest tragedy that will come out of this day is if we're not thankful. Because if we're not thankful on a day like Thanksgiving, you'll never do Thanksgiving. You'll never change. You'll go out here the same. We talked on a broad brush stroke of a lot of things today, but the most important thing is the end of this. You can't be with Christ because you know him. You got to be with Christ because you have a relationship with him. I don't care if you get anything else out of the message today. I can't be thankful unless he's first in my life. I can't be thankful if anything else is in the way. So I thought about my 87-year-old mama. And what would she have me say to you today? She'd have me tell you, oh, it's okay, I'm going to a better place. But you can't get there and hang out with me if you've never accepted Christ, if you've never professed him as your Savior, if you've never get that first free gift of salvation. So I'm going to tell you that today. There's nothing more important. Today, several men come in here from a housing thing that they have with McKinley Hall. And Colby, where you at? Come on up here. We're just going to mess him up right now. John, Claire, come on up here. Jack and Jill, come on up here. I know you don't like to be up here. Come on up anyway. You see what I'm doing? If God wants to redeem you, if God has redeemed you, if you are thankful today, some of these people up here today, anybody else, any of you guys? Any of you guys in the back want to come on up? Come on up here. Because I want to do something here today. Thank you, Lord. Listen, this group right here have been made known to you that they need you to help them see the face of God. So we have an importance as a body of believers to love them and not quit on them and stand up and fight with them. And when they don't even believe in themselves, they need to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. They're not the only ones that stand here today that don't have a personal relationship with Christ. So today, if you begin to believe in your heart and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you accept him and you've asked him to redeem, come on up and join them, whoever it is. Come on up here. Ain't no shame in our game. We've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If you're in a struggle today of your life, if you're in a fight today, if you can't take no more and you need more of him, come on up. Come on up. You guys, I'll turn around, face this way. Always turn around, face this way. I want you to know that we won't leave you, we won't quit on you, and we won't forsake you because we have a God that did the same thing for us. The only difference is God's done it for us, and he's going to do it for you. And if you really believe that and you've asked him into your heart, you got everything it takes. You got the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, and he will change you from the inside out. He loves you, and it don't matter what nobody else says or what everybody else has called you in life. God has redeemed you, and Colby, he set you apart in the name of Jesus. He loves every hair on your head, and he loves you when the devil begins to say, I got to forgive myself. Know that God loves you enough that he redeemed you in the blood of Jesus Christ, that he's delivered you and set you free, and to whom he set free is free indeed. You begin to know. You begin to know inside of you that there's a redeeming blood of Jesus Christ that's in you and around. Listen, some of you elders, come on up here. Some of you elders, you consider yourself an elder. That means you're the older people. Come on up here. Come on up here. Hustle up. Come on. Men and women, come on up here. If you're a prayer warrior, come on up here around these people right here. And when you touch them, you're standing in agreement that God did it for you and he's going to do it for them. No matter what the enemy said, the enemy's a liar. We're going to be thankful, and we're going to appreciate the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. What we couldn't do, he did. Amen. Extend a hand this way if you're in your seats. Begin to pray for him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, no matter what our struggles are today, we know that once we believe in our heart and profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we know that you put into action a salvation message today that we can always and forever be thankful for. God, your word says you will never, ever leave us, nor will you ever forsake us. In the deepest, in the darkest, hardest times of temptation, God, we resist the enemy, and we plead the blood of Jesus right now over every man and every woman that's in this group, Father God, for the people that's come forward and the people that want God, we thank you today. God, we want a heart of thankfulness, God. God, we thank you for what you've done.